Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we are going to be talking about freedom and looking at some specifics at why you may not be enjoying the freedom God has for you right now. Now, obviously, we're not going to be able to address every specific that may be going on in your life, but you're welcome to call in and we can discuss it on air. You're always welcome to email me. But more than anything, this is between you and God. Because one of the things we need to be continually embracing is the notion that the circumstances that you are in right now are planned by God. They are there for you, not against you, not a way to keep you from doing what you want to do, or to keep you in pain or a perceived bondage, and certainly not to keep you from rest and knowing Him, but basically the opposite. When we look at our idea of what freedom is and God's idea of freedom, it may be two totally different things. Let's stop for a minute and just think about what's going on in our life right now. What is going on in your life right now? What is causing you stress? What are you avoiding? What are you angry about? Who are you angry at or about? Sometimes it's God, sometimes it's people in our lives, and a lot of times it's ourselves. And sometimes we're angry at ourselves for being angry or intolerant or whatever. Do you want freedom from that? In a lot of ways, freedom is just an aspect of healing. We often think of healing as physical, or that somebody has hurt us, or we have hurt ourselves, and we need healing for that. But really all that is entering into freedom. Sometimes it's freedom from pain or hindrances or miscommunication, confusion about a choice we're making or planning our future or a relationship. But they're tied together so tightly. One of the problems we have, and we encounter this all the time, is that when we get healed and when we want freedom, there are choices that then follow. Because we have learned to live with certain levels of acceptable bondage and acceptable injury, rejection, we've begun to believe that that's the way it'll always be, or that we deserve it, or sometimes we keep ourselves from recognizing it. What we very often believe is that we won't be free until we die. That's when we'll shake off these earthly shackles and join God in heaven and be totally free. Free from the constraints of this world, of this earth, of our bodies. But that's not his idea. That's ours. And just as little children fantasize make-believe worlds, many of us have done the same. And some of those fantasies, those imaginations, have taken such a strong grip within the religious circles that they are now keeping us, keeping many in bondage and out of freedom. Now, freedom is going to be different for you than it is for me, because so much of the idea of freedom is tied into our temperament. What's your temperament? Your temperament is the way God put together your spirit, soul, your mind, will, and emotions within your soul. Remember, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. And your soul is comprised of your mind, will, and emotions. Now, this may be different than the way you've been taught. That's fine. We don't have enough information to be able to say who's right and who's wrong. So what works for you, what brings you into freedom, is what's right for you. And I'm always happy to hear differing viewpoints to further the discussion. Not to prove who's right or wrong. I just don't go there anymore. Let's not be distracted by defending our belief system. The bottom line is, does what you believe bring you into greater freedom? Now, we've talked many times about our view of Christianity restricting us from learning to rule and reign now. When I tell you that you have everything you need to live right now as a son of God, that when Jesus said, I go to the Father, but I'm leaving you to do more than I've done. And that, as John says, there's not enough books to contain everything that he did and everything that he taught. And when we realize that Jesus left us with this idea when he ascended, and then enabled us by giving us a new spirit, by re-spiriting us, that there is nothing that is keeping us from living as he did here on this earth, totally dependent on the Father. And when we realize that, we realize that's his intent. That's our inheritance. That everything that God is, he has made available in and to us. your spirit is already enjoying all the knowledge, all the power, all the resources that it could possibly ever need. Your spirit right now is experiencing eternal life. So the problem is not our spirit or access. We don't have to get God to do something for us or on our behalf. We don't need to move him. He's already done everything. Our problem is our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. What we believe, what we've inherited, how we've been rejected, our wounds. But if we insist that God can't set us free or make us free, well, and make us free, we will waste our opportunity here on this earth to join our soul and spirit and eventually our body into becoming the one, the single man, the single person, the united being, spirit, soul, and body, that God created you and I to be. He's made the way. Are we willing to walk in it? It's not a matter of doing anything for him, being productive, saying the right things, doing the right things, looking the right way. Are you willing to be freed? As he breaks those bonds and brings you out of your prison, what then? Freedom can be a scary thing. In fact, we know from our own experiences of the studies that have been done of those that have been in prison for a long time. When they come out, they very often can't handle life on the outside. And they will commit a crime so that they will be sent back into prison. Freedom is much more difficult than bondage. Health is much more difficult than being wounded. When we've got those stresses in our lives, our world revolves around protecting ourselves, just surviving that stress. So what are some examples of things that we might be seeking freedom from? It might be a physical issue. And what if God did heal that? You'd have to change your life. For instance, if you have a chronic illness or cancer or an addiction, what if all of a sudden God healed you of that? Very often, for instance, we use an addiction to dull the pain. You then have to face that pain and allow God to heal it. You'd have to work on the real issue. You'd have to go back and heal those relationships that you broke. You'd have to start thinking about a future. What do you want to do with the rest of your life? You'd have to start taking care of your body. So many people think, oh, it's no problem just for God to heal a person's addiction. And guess what? They're right. That's not the problem. The healing is not the problem. It's our willingness and sometimes ability to change our beliefs and our realities, to make choices, to not go by our feelings, to change our beliefs. And depending on your temperament, it's likely that one of those is going to be harder than the others. Well, that's fine. God knows exactly where you're at. And he gave you exactly the temperament he wanted you to have. He's not saying that your temperament is broken or that your soul is broken. It's just basically covered in goo. And because of that outer covering, think of a seed that falls into the ground. The seed, let's think of a coconut. It's huge. It's got this brown, hard covering and then a layer of white meat, coconut meat, with a milky substance, and then the seed is on the very inside. And that's true of the very smallest, even the mustard seed. The seed that germinates is on the inside. So that coconut falls to the ground, and the circumstances, the outward circumstances, have to be just right in order for the seed inside to break through and send its roots into the ground below. And very often, we don't allow the circumstances to be right because we like it in our little seed pod. We like it in our cocoon. We don't want to have to learn how to put forth our roots, how to get what we need for ourselves. We don't want to grow up. And I think this is one of the reasons so many find what we teach here to be so challenging and frightening, and it makes a lot of people very insecure, which I'm fine with all those reactions. Because the bottom line is, your job is to hear God for yourself and test it. I hear all the time about how we have to use another source. What is the authority? What is the basis of this teaching? The basis is God. This works to know God. Now, this is certainly nothing new. This is the very thing that Jesus taught. This is that. We just skip a lot of the middlemen. We skip your denominational history, my denominational history, our own beliefs, our own feelings, our own past choices. What we've been taught is security is really bondage. And again, we can feel very safe in a prison because all the choices are made for us. We learn to cope. We don't have high expectations. We settle for the situation we find ourselves in, rather than realizing that the situation God has placed us in, that you find yourself in right now, he has put those roadblocks there for you to learn how to overcome them. Because the process of overcoming them will bring you healing, correct your beliefs, it will reveal himself more clearly to you. When you became a Christian, when you were inspirited, when you got a new spirit from him, and you became a son, He started working on you to train you, to equip you. And he is not going to give up. So when we are fighting to maintain our own control, to keep our crutches, to stay in prison, to stay behind bars, to stay locked in our cocoon, we are rejecting God. We are rejecting his plan for us. So let's just look at a couple quick examples. Say you're in a bad marriage where you're now thinking you've married the wrong person, but you're stuck in the situation. You've got kids, you've got a mortgage, you're a Christian, so you don't believe in divorce. So odds are you either have attended or maybe are reading a book or are attending a fellowship or a church that teaches you something that makes you able to put up with a bad marriage, to just endure. And maybe that's what they're teaching you, that God is blessed, God is glorified when you simply endure evil speaking. Well, basically, when you're being treated poorly. And so that keeps us from having to ask God, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? Now, here's the thing, is so many people are afraid that if they do that, God may say, no, I don't need you to stay in this marriage. You're free. You're a big girl. You're a big boy. You don't have to stay in this marriage. But there's things you can learn in this marriage that by getting out of this marriage, I'm just going to have to create another set of circumstances. Or we can get the most out of the situation you're in right now in learning to know me and use this as an opportunity to learn more about your own resources. Now, I'm not talking about a situation where there's violence or the law is being broken, or the children are in harm's way, or you're in harm's way in any way, shape, or form, not just physically. But, for instance, if you're married to someone who can't manage their temper or their finances or their future and is setting a terrible example for the kids, these are all things you want to weigh. But this is the problem, is you have to weigh these things. God's not going to tell you an automatic yes or no. This is the area where we are learning to develop our own judgment. And what a scary idea that is. You know, I thought that's what pastors were for, to tell us what to do. No. You're the one who's going to have to live with this. And you're the one that God created these circumstances for. So say we take this situation and say it's been a bad marriage for quite some time. There's no support for one another. There's no kindness for one another. They're both basically living separate lives. And they're both using different aspects of their lives to get their needs met. She might be getting her identity, her self-worth out of how she raises her kids. And he might be getting his identity out of how well he's doing at work. But they don't share a common identity. And maybe they're both dissatisfied with that. They're both unhappy. And neither one of them wants to be in the marriage. What do? They recognize that they can't go back and undo anything. You know, this whole idea of, oh, I married the wrong person. Get over it. You've got a choice to make, and you can't undo a previous choice. Make your choice for today. You're not stuck in anything for the rest of your life. What do you want changed today? What do you want to be freed of today? And when we start really looking at it, and we are free, and we become free to make those choices, we find out, well, maybe it's not the spouse that's causing all the problem. When we realize that if we leave this marriage, God's just going to have to find another way to expose, to reveal the wounds so that he can heal them. Another way to teach us whatever it is, dependence on him and development of our own judgment that we need to learn. And as we choose, whether we choose to leave or to stay, that can be a turning point. Then it's no longer forced on us. We are no longer in prison. In this situation, if the husband and wife decide to stay and work on their issues, things may not get better overnight. Odds are they've changed since they first married. We all do. But when they start getting their needs met from God, and they start working on their own issues, getting their own wounds healed, developing their own judgment, and then as a couple start setting their own goals for themselves. And when they honestly start dealing with things without the preconceptions of what their marriage is supposed to be like. In other words, when they choose to stay together, it's not staying in bondage. It's entering freedom. It's when we do things because we should that we solidify our restraints. We keep ourselves from being able to be freed in that area by blindly accepting bondage. Now, likewise, that couple may decide we're just not compatible. Our temperaments just can't be in the same household, or one wants to work on it and the other doesn't. The other is rejecting God, and with rejecting God, rejecting his freedom, rejecting his healing, and therefore rejects the circumstances that he's created for them. Well, that's fine. That's just another circumstance. Since God has already accepted you fully, completely, eternally in your spirit, to think that he condemns us for the decisions and the choices, either that are made without our involvement, or even mistakes we made or choices we make that we may think is the wrong choice or evil. If God does not condemn us, who are we to condemn ourselves? But freedom is scary. We need to learn how to do it. So we'll pick it up there next Saturday. As always, you're welcome to drop me a line at Diane@wecanprepare.org. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great weekend. This is Diane for Prepare Radio.